Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
Second annual Pitch and Moan, episode 2. Here we go. I am your host, Courtney Finicum, and it's always a pleasure. Johnny Gomes, you are here. You're looking spiff with the nice beard going. How are you today?
Yeah, I mean, this is in the middle of a real sharp, nice, clean beard and homelessness. This is the battle of having a beard. You just got to make it to the weekend, get tightened up on Friday. So bear with me, feeling a little jacked. So yeah, I'm just in the middle of this grizzle going on, but let's pitch and moan a little bit.
I mean, I'm always about pitching and moaning when it comes to baseball, as you are as well. Yep. And we are literally, it's crazy. We're a month into the season already. How did this happen? I don't know, but we're in the middle of it. And there's been a lot of stuff that has gone on so far, but the way I want to kick off this show is to really talk about teams that we've been impressed with so far.
Sure.
You know, we have the AL East who at this moment, every team's above 500, right? I mean, that's kind of cool. But the team that I really want to call out that has been really impressive, brand new manager, Stephen Vogt, first time manager, Cleveland Guardians. I mean, impressive. What do you think is the secret to the Cleveland Guardians' success right now?
Gosh, the secret of the sauce. I think the one thing that sticks out like this time of year for a lot of people that can have a crutch is injuries. And they're healthy. They're rocking and rolling. They're running out a lot of the same guys. Okay. Well, actually, they did have – who went down? Bieber went down. And it's always a good thing when you're not talking about the injuries, kind of like the Yankees, like you haven't heard about Gerrit Cole and you're waiting for Gerrit Cole and you're waiting for all these guys to get back. When you're able to hide those injuries – to show the depth of your organization, that's an outstanding thing.
And that's actually a very good point. You heard about the Bieber injury and it was like, oh geez, you know, how are they going to bounce back from this? What are they going to do? And now it's off the page. Yep. You don't hear about it anymore. And they're just rocking and rolling. You know, it's Terry Francona, the legendary Terry Francona retires. Everyone's like, geez, you know, how is Stephen Vogt going to do? He's never managed before. And here they are. What is it? They're 16-7 leading the AL Central. It's very impressive.
Yeah, when Steven took over the wheel, I mean, he took over a pretty good wheel, right? There wasn't a lot of movement in the offseason. They weren't trading away their franchise guy, looking for a franchise guy. And they did outstanding last year, too. So now they have a little momentum. A lot of those guys have a year under their belt. And they're exciting to watch, too. They are. There's a homer in there. There's a stolen base in there. Their closer is one of the best in the game. Their bullpen, Stephen Vogt. It's so cool to watch him. Like, you know, kind of the old school manager and the new school manager. I mean, this dude's fist pumping. Yep. He's so excited. He's high-fiving his guys. He's electric to watch in there. And you can tell there's a lot of passion from Stephen Vogt that's pouring into that ball club.
Do you feel like there is, on that same note, sort of a vibe with the players, knowing that Stephen Vogt is kind of, you know, in their age range, right? He's this energetic young guy. Do you feel like that makes a difference with the team to have a guy that's almost like their equal in there, kind of managing it, leading it?
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, I mean, from a young manager to an old manager, like there's not really a secret sauce, because that secret sauce, I think, changes yearly to your clubhouse. And I was really curious to see how Stephen Vogt was going to approach this, because he's like literally one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. He's the guy that you want in the middle of everything. He's the guy you want, you know, the mic on the bus and all that stuff. But he can't really be that guy. But can he be that guy? You know, you got to be, you know, the captain of the ship and the old school and stay out of the way and stay out of the clubhouse. Man, he's had an outstanding first month for being a first manager. Gosh, you probably got to give it to him for manager of the year if the voting ended today, right?
I would think so. I mean, yeah. So like you said, first year manager, you know, taking over the ship from Terry Francona, the Hall of Famer, you know, he had big shoes to fill, right? Yep. I mean, he had big shoes to fill. And so far, he's living up to expectations and then some, which I think is great. One thing that I can sort of relate that to is, you know, when David Ross became manager of the Chicago Cubs. You know, those were his guys. You know, he played with them. He played with the Anthony Rizzos and the Chris Bryants. And then all of a sudden, he's the manager. And it's just, it's an interesting vibe when that happens. And sure enough, you know, 2016, world champions, first time ever. So.
Yeah. The one thing that those two have in common, and just go ahead and run the stats and run the numbers, is ex-catchers make outstanding managers. I think that's known throughout the game. And if you didn't know that, go look and you'll find out some of the best catchers in the game, or some of the best managers in the game, have been catchers. The mentality, the pitch to pitch, you know, the relationship you have with the pitcher now that he has with the players. So, but again, there's only 30 of these guys in the world, and not all 30 are doing an outstanding job, and not all 30 have the roster that he does, but he definitely deserves his flowers.
I agree. And like you said, if the voting happens today, Stephen Vogt is my manager of the year. No doubt. Yep. No doubt. Yep. But we got a long way to go. As we know, we have a long way to go.
We do have a long way to go. But at the same time, you'd like to be, you know, up top and healthy versus down at the end of the season having to play catch up. So it's always good to just grind, pad that lead.
I agree. And I feel like Steven's got a good head on his shoulders. He's leading that team well. And we'll see. Well, you know, we'll continue to monitor them.
Yep.
What is a team that you have seen so far this year that has kind of opened your eyes a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a lot. I tell you, like Cleveland doing well, Milwaukee doing well, you know, after the big trade for Corbin Burns. Pittsburgh, you know, is doing well. You know, I'm going to have to stay in the same state, believe it or not. And we're going to go right here.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, we're going to go right here. This team is absolutely electric to watch right now. Yes. And I don't think their starting pitching is quite where they need it right now. They are playing fundamentally correct baseball with dudes that can slug the ball out of the ballpark. Keep an eye on Spencer Steer for me. I mean, this guy legit can play all seven positions in the big leagues. Sneaky homer guy. They're all running the bases over there with J.R. House at third and Colin Cowgill at first.
Yep.
And they're all kind of homer threats. The middle of the lineup are like big homer threats. Like Ellie De La Cruz hit a ball oppo out of the ballpark, 110 miles per hour. Insane. 110 miles per hour oppo is absolutely elite. Yeah, he's on pace for 40-40, kind of like on accident.
Literally.
40-40 shortstop. Look that up. Not many of them.
Correct.
So they're fun to watch. I'm pulling for them.
Well, and I love that you busted out the Cincinnati Reds hat.
Yep. Game used.
I mean, that just, honestly, the memorabilia that you have, because you've been on these amazing teams, I'm jealous. It's impressive that you busted that Cincinnati Reds hat out right away. Yeah. Very impressive. But yeah, you know, the Ohio teams, Cleveland and Cincinnati, kind of opening some eyes this year. I like that.
Yeah, they are. And both of the divisions, so in the Central, are literally wide open.
Wide open. Right?
Wide open. I mean, you got the White Sox. Okay, I don't know, you know, but like, especially.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Maybe I'm under a rock from Chicago. But the NL Central, Sonny Gray coming back, Lance Lynn pitching, Paul Goldschmidt and Arenado, if they want to come back, that would be outstanding because those guys are awesome to watch. I don't know what's going on over there, but anyone can win it in that division. It's going to be a fun race.
And I agree. I mean, even, you know, the Cubs are interesting, right? I mean, they've been hit with some injuries. Cody Bellinger last night, got himself in the ribs.
Yep.
Suzuki's been hurt. So, like you said, the division's wide open. So Cincinnati, Cleveland, they're in good divisions to make some noise and to potentially stay there. It's sustainable success right now for them out there. So, again, something to monitor. But Ellie De La Cruz, every day this guy's a highlight reel, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, he's like every young kid's favorite player, too, right now. He's got so much swag, so much flair. And he is just absolutely the nicest guy you could possibly imagine. He's polite. You look at him and you think that he'd be just this electric hair on fire guy. He's real quiet. He's simple. He's doing his interviews in English now, which
love
is
that.
Super cool. And, you know, locking down at shortstop right there. Last couple of years, short third, short third. He's sitting right in the middle of that lineup. And, I mean, triples in that ballpark, Great American Small Park, right?
Yeah.
The triples in that ballpark were pretty rare. And he's doing it, you know, once a week.
Yeah, it is impressive. And, you know, baseball needs to embrace these types of players. You know, you made a mention of him doing his interviews in English. You know, that's
super
just going
cool.
to so cool. And I love when guys do that. And that's just going to open up other doors for these players, too.
Yep.
So that is really cool. And baseball does need to embrace these young stars, because that's going to make a difference in the game at the end of the day.
Yeah, baseball deserves him. Absolutely. I mean, he's such a great kid. He's clean off the field. He's everything that you want. You know, it's good, you know, that he's, you know, outside of like the big market, right? So the Dodgers and the Yankees and, you know, Atlanta's been there forever. You know, this little Midwest Cincinnati, oldest organization in the game. They deserve to have a guy like him.
Fully agreed. Well, in order to talk about the good, which we always love to focus on, we unfortunately do have to talk about some of the bad stuff going on in the game.
Yep.
What is a team in your mind, and of course, the big one sticks out to me, that has just been an utter disappointment so far this year?
I think Oakland is kind of hanging in there.
I actually respect what Oakland's doing.
I don't know how. I mean, but they're hanging in there. I mean, they lost to the Yankees by one, and like, you know, we are now on this like Mason Miller watch, right?
Yes.
Watching this dude come out closing games. It's going to be a really, really unique piece down the road, because if you know you're not going to the playoffs and you know you're probably not going to the playoffs for a while, you never know. But like, why do you need a closer, right?
And you're exactly right. Right.
So what you can get for that guy right now is Schwarber. So I'm not giving it to them. I like them, right? White cleats, they're going through a lot of adversity with the new stadium and blah, blah, blah. Like, they're hanging in there. I'm not going to give it to them. I think it's really easy to give it to the White Sox, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually like, I don't even know why or what. Like, you look at that roster on paper and you're like, all right. Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. I would, in Colorado, right? Like, they're behind. Yeah, kind of expected it.
Yep.
But I think we can agree that no one saw Houston.
That's it.
Right?
That's the team.
No one saw Houston. And you watch, if it stays like this, you got to trade away these free agents, right?
You do. Yep.
You got to trade them away and you got to reload. And every team reloads about every 5-6 years, it's expected, unless you go the Braves route, which like probably Baltimore is going to do pretty soon, just lock everyone up. The Red Sox did a little bit of that. But wow, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to, you know, possibly talk about some of Houston's guys on the trade deadline.
Well, and my question for you as a former player, you know, they had, we talked about Steven Vogt and we talked about Terry Francona and that whole legendary managerial experience that he had. How much do you think is going on in Houston has the Dusty Baker effect? Are they missing his leadership in that clubhouse? Nothing against Joe Espada, but that's a big change. Again, huge shoes to fill. How much do you think is affecting their success when it comes to missing Dusty?
Yeah, I don't know. I think like Houston's roster, like you look at the roster and it should just be plug and play.
Exactly.
Right? You got veterans all over. I mean, that team could get managed by an iPad. Right?
You would think.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what's the manager really need to do, you know, to get Pena and Bregman going and, you know, Abreu over at first? I don't know what's happening there. We've all been there, right?
Right.
I mean, is it going to come out? Like, I'd imagine haters having a bad start. But at the same time, if this team does click, right? Like, yeah, they're in a race. But when you're 10 games under 500 through the first month, yeah, you got some hauling ass to do.
I mean, it's got to be really alarming for those Astros fans to go from really one of the top tier teams to all of a sudden being in the crapshoot again. I mean, it's just it's got to be just a kind of a nightmare right now. Like, what went wrong? Like you said, this should be, you know, an iPad could run this team. So what is actually going wrong? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we'll just have to keep an eye on it from the outside looking in, and you got to think it's going to turn around. Some of these other orgs that are kind of like off to slow starts, it doesn't look like they're going to turn around. If there's any team right now that's going to turn around, it's definitely going to be Houston.
And I would agree. And another division, at least as of right now, that's wide open is the AL West. I mean, the Rangers haven't really done much playing 500 ball. Seattle coming off to a slow start. You know, the Angels, you don't really know what's going on there sometimes. It's, you know, they're very up and down. You know, that's also wide open. So a lot of interesting races so far in early this year.
Yeah, and out there on the West, I mean, Oakland's probably not going to win or even wild card, but they're going to screw some people up. They really are.
I have said this since last year, and I very much agree with you. As quote unquote bad as that team is, they play hard, though. They do not give up. They're not going to lay like the White Sox. They're not just going to lay down and accept a loss. Like they will fight. They'll scratch and claw. And I agree. They will screw up a lot of teams. They will.
Yeah, they're going to screw some teams up. You don't really want to play them down the stretch.
I agree with you. I agree. Yeah.
But at the same time, too, like the Oakland way, they could just ship all those players off, you know. And is it worth it? Maybe. I don't know. But they do have a couple pieces there that exciting. That Ruiz, I mean, if you can imagine having Ruiz on your bench going into the playoffs, because this guy's like a cheat code in the stolen bases, you know. And then, of course, Mason Miller, like you bottle those two guys up and you ship them to New York for one or two of their top prospects. Yeah, you got action.
I agree. But I'm actually glad that Oakland is, you know, a somewhat formidable team right now because like you said, what they've gone through, all that adversity, that fan base, you know, they deserve at least some decent baseball to watch this year. So I'm happy to see that.
Little farewell tour.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another thing that I feel we need to pitch and moan about is Jackson Holliday's slow start.
Yeah.
This has been, you know, a panic mode in Baltimore right now about this kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my opinion, it's like any other player that starts off slow. It's going to be glaring, right? If you start off 0-20 in April, everyone's going to talk about it. Everyone's going to, you know, be concerned about it. Do you see anything in this kid's game where Baltimore needs to be concerned about how he's going to develop?
I mean, you're just going to go to like his bloodlines and his roots, right? Like his dad. I mean, he's always going to be like in good hands. But I do, I think it's just a quick reminder of like the big leagues is tough. And I was talking about this the other day. Like if you go to like high school and then the AAA, that huge jump, and then AAA to the big leagues. AAA to the big leagues is the biggest jump you can make, right? If you go A ball to AAA or low A to double A, they're big jumps. There's the age, but there's not a bigger jump from AAA to the big leagues. And I think it's a quick reminder that just the big leagues is hard.
I agree with that.
The big leagues is really hard, and it's a really, really tough place to struggle. And there's not a better place to shine. But luckily the team's winning, right? They're 15-8, so they're kind of like hiding it. But I do admire Baltimore for letting him ride this out. I think he's going to be better for it. He did get a knock last night.
Yep.
And it's wild. I mean, we haven't really seen too much of him, but I was watching a little bit of the game last night and he got a knock and he's at first. And I'm like, this dude is a baby.
Baby face.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a child.
Yeah. And I mean, this, you know, he's got no college experience. But then as soon as you talk about like his struggles, like you just go pull up like his minor league numbers and you're like, this is the best dude, best prospect in the game for a reason.
Right.
Like you can't accidentally do those numbers in the minor leagues and even in big league spring training. I hope he turns it around. If he doesn't, I think it's okay. I mean, I went up and down 5 times. Mm. A lot of dudes do, you know, I mean, that's why there's, you know, DFAs and a lot of guys get sent around and your options for a reason. It's really, really tough. Like Mike Trout got sent down, right? I mean, it's not rare by any means.
Well, and to name a couple of Hall of Famers that have been off to a slow start in their career, there is some, MLB.com just came out with this the other day about Jackson Holliday. I mean, to name a few, Cal Ripken, he started off slow. Brooks Robinson started off slow. George Brett.
Yep.
I mean, these are massive names that started off slow. It happens.
Yeah.
But when you're a highly touted prospect and you're starting off slow in the social media world,
yep,
everything is blown out of proportion. I think Jackson Holliday is going to be just fine. But kind of what you said, I'm glad Baltimore is giving him an opportunity to have these struggles and to figure it out, because sometimes you're going to be better for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his skin's getting thick, right? His skin's getting thick and they're doing a good job. They're putting him down at the bottom of the lineup, right? Which is okay. Helping that lineup turn over. You know, a lot of strikeouts, which I think is rare. And one thing that you see with a lot of these like real top prospects is they've literally never struggled, like ever. Like they've been the best player on the field from their 12, like all the way.
Yep.
So sometimes like you wish for like a little piece of this pie, selfishly. Like this, not that he's like crazy. I mean, I saw his dad talk the other day and I was like, damn, I wish that was my dad, right? Like he's in such good hands. I mean, I'm sure those phone calls to Matt, you know, are great, but which is cool. And we're all pulling for the kid. We really are. No one wants to see this guy struggle.
Absolutely. And on that same note, have you noticed that every Orioles top prospect looks exactly the same?
Yeah, that's a clone.
What is going on?
Yeah, that's a clone.
What is in the water with this?
Yeah, they're up there. I know Under Armour's up there. Probably they're in the factory just doing like EA Sports build a player and bringing them up.
That is exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's like how AI would develop like a top prospect. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad model to follow because that team's freaking good. And their AAA team, bring that whole team up. Change some of these, swap them out, right? These kids want to play, swap them out. I guarantee that AAA team will be more competitive than some of these guys you see nightly.
Well, and that's the scary thing about Baltimore, too. If I'm a veteran on that team and I get hurt, you know there's a 22-year-old kid waiting in the wings to take your spot, and he's going to take it. So,
right there in Norfolk, Virginia, where it's pretty hard to hit homers right there on the water.
I
mean, it's a launching pad for these kids. They're playing home run derby during the game.
Yeah. So if I'm a veteran on the Orioles, I'm watching my ass pretty closely to make sure I'm staying healthy. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it was cool to watch Jackson Holliday come up. And it just showed it's a young man's, young kid's game right now, the excitement coming up. And then I think you got to start talking about the Paul Skeens chatter, right?
Yep.
I mean, when this dude comes up, I mean, it's going to be all eyes on that game for sure, and well-deserved.
Well, and I just saw an interview with Paul Skeens, actually, and he admitted that he grew up an Angels fan.
Mm.
And the Angels and Pirates play each other in, I believe, about 10 days. So how cool would that be if he can pitch against his hometown favorite team? I hope that happens.
Yeah, I hope it does too. But I mean, I'm not trying to watch this guy for four innings or three innings, right? Like, let's get his pitch count up. Let's get it right. You know, let's get him into the seventh and eighth, or at least 85 to 90 pitches. I'd hate for him to come up and he's, you know, he's out of the game in the third and here we go because he's not ready, right? Like, get his pitch count up, get his innings up, get him up around that 100 mark, and then bring him on in.
I agree. But that's another, like you said, it's a young man's game right now, and that's exciting. It's only good for baseball to have this youth, right?
Right.
We need that.
Well, and then how about Pittsburgh? I mean, you talk, that's the best trade deadline acquisition you can get because you know they're going to be in the wild card. You know they're going to be playing well and like, oh, yep, now it's Paul Skeens. Let's push that button.
I agree. It's a good thing. It's an evolving game, and I'm glad it's happening. We need it.
Yep.
One thing that we don't need, though, in our pitch and moan topic number three are these the ump show.
Yeah.
The ump show needs to end. It's between Angel Hernandez and his BS every game he umps. And now to what happened with Aaron Boone. Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, sometimes, you know, I sit and I wonder and I'm like, these dudes must not have social media, which cheers to them, or read the internet or watch TV, because they're just getting blasted, right? And that's the last thing like that you want for anybody, right? But I mean, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's like, it's not nightly throughout the game. It seems like it's the same dudes and same problems. And then was in Kansas City, like the first pitch of the game was like right down the middle. And they're like, they're balling balls and striking balls. It's like, we can't even get the strike zone. It's, I don't know, maybe it's early in the year for them, but it's so frustrating because in the big leagues, right, 162 games, like one game does count.
Yes, it does.
And a pitch counts and an out counts. I don't know what the deal is. They got the yips. We're gonna call it the umpire yips, I guess.
The umpire yips.
Yeah.
Are you, after seeing all this, you know, and it's one thing about the Aaron Boone situation, you know, Hunter, he doubled down on it. He actually said, I don't care where it came from, I'm still tossing you. And now listen, as someone that's into theatrics and drama like I am, watching Aaron Boone get tossed is always entertaining.
Yep.
Because he gives us great sound clips and he's very, you know, out there. But it's insane that the guy just couldn't say, you know what, I screwed up. That was my mistake. To double down on it is insane. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, kind of gets the blood flow a little bit is like the players, like they get ragged all the time by the fans. Right. And it's a part of the deal. It's a part of being in the big leagues. You got to have tunnel vision, tuck your ears in. Do your job. Call balls, call strikes, call safe, call out. Don't be staring in the dugout and egging the manager on and, you know, I'm the captain of the ship and blah, blah, blah. Just like, bro, stay focused, stay tunneled in. Don't do all this. And if the manager has something to say, hey, come talk to me in between innings. We got 2 minutes to wrap. But, you know, when you got this coming and you got this coming, you got to block it out.
That's it. And that was just utterly insane. And like you said, it seems like it's a nightly occurrence with these umpires. And I was against it years ago when everyone's like, oh, we need robot umps, blah, 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 blah. But I think maybe we do at this point. I don't know.
I really enjoy the challenge. I really enjoy the challenge, right?
Yep.
I enjoy the challenge. I think the catcher should be able to challenge. And this isn't like go to the booth. I mean, you know immediately if it's a ball or a strike.
That's it.
Right? This isn't gonna slow the game down by any means. But I like the human element. Like if it's a little bit out and they call it a strike and no one challenges it, keep moving.
Right.
But and then you're gonna have that one jack wagon that like challenges a ball right down the middle and ruins it for the whole team.
That's it. But
I like that aspect of it too.
Yeah, so I feel like MLB has to really kind of figure this out because you're losing credibility in these games. I mean, it's like nobody's paying to see Angel Hernandez call a crappy game. No one's doing that. So figure it out. Let's not ruin the game that we love and let's keep everyone on an even playing field. It's hitting a baseball is hard enough as it is, right?
Yeah. It's crazy though. It's like, I mean, they got their own union. So like, how are you going to clean it up? What are you
correct?
You can't talk to these guys.
Right? And that is the problem.
Yeah. That's so it. Hopefully they can do it within, but, I could imagine somewhere in that department or someone's like, we're not getting the best credit right now. I think we need to just reload, recalibrate, and, you know, let's kick it off in May a little bit better.
I agree. Yeah. You know, April, flush it, and let's start fresh on May 1st. Agreed.
Yep.
To sum up episode 2 of Pitch and Moan, you and I are baseball rats. We watch all the games all the time. What is the series that you are looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I'm staying with the Cincinnati Reds, right? I'm staying with the Cincinnati Reds going heads up against the world champs, and that's the Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers really don't have much to prove or anything. They're 500. I'm totally cool with the World Series hangover, and let's get to the All-Star break and let's tune it up. I think Scherzer's coming back pretty soon. We'll get some of these guys hot. They got their rings. They got their bonuses. So I'm cool with that. But I just want to see the Reds go up against the champs and what they do in those situations.
And I, just like you're staying with the Reds, I'm staying with Cleveland.
Nice.
Guardians versus Braves this weekend. I mean, any game, any series that has the Braves, it's bound to be pretty good. I mean, that really is a top-notch organization, top-notch team. And with Cleveland, what they're doing, two first-place teams going at it early in the season, got to be some fun this weekend, for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a wild series because as of today, the Cleveland has one more win than Atlanta.
That's right.
We call that a bracket buster, right? No one probably had that coming. But, yeah, Cleveland's rocking and rolling, and I think they're ready for the challenge.
And honestly, you know, maybe we'll be here in September, end of September, talking about an all-Ohio World Series, Cleveland and Cincinnati. You never know.
Oh, how about it? But those ballparks, too, when they fill up, both those ballparks rock and roll.
Well, I mean, Cleveland for years had their sellout record. I mean, the Jake was constantly rocking. So
455, the highest number ever retired. There's your trivia for the day.
That was well done and well said. I love that. That is the trivia for the day.
Yep.
Well, Johnny, you rule as always. We solved a lot of baseball problems this week, as we always do. And it's always been a pleasure. We will pitch and moan next week about many other things, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll have a lot on our plate. Just a quick 30-minute pitch and moan. Stay with us. It's good action.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.